it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Happy
Thursday.
Harsh Weather Thursday, which is kind of our new TDSP tradition, brought to you by the good folks at Breckenridge Brewery. The homies, I mean, this summer you can get in on all the fun. They've got you covered in all areas. Find your favorite Breck Brew on the Breck Brew locator there. Joined by a star-studded cast for this Denver Sports Podcast. Here to my left, man, the myth, the legend, DMVR Rams, Justin Michael. Justin, how are you?
Doing good, man. Always fun to talk history, especially with you guys.
It's been a minute. And then RK are running it back for some more Mount Rushmore talk with me. Rhino, how many pods is that today?
Four pods, two markets.
Solid, man. That's
just
solid.
Just getting started. Really, I got to say, I've never seen this before. Like, if you look on the screen right now, it looks like we're doing a night show.
Yeah.
It's 3:30.
It's true Denver sports history. Well, maybe not sports, but it's Denver history, it feels like.
Just go compare this with, like, the Buff show earlier and just look at the way that the windows look behind us versus what we're dealing with now. And also, I don't have a car. I'm supposed to scooter home, so that'll be fun.
That might be a little harder for you. So we'll see if the weather does or doesn't keep up with us. But as I hinted, I actually think we hinted at the end of the last TDSP where we went with updated Mount Rushmores. Check that out if you haven't, with AJ Hafley. That was a fun one. We want to get into coaches now. Got to get into the coaches. I think the coaches are less obvious and in turn could be more fun.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. There's a lot of fringe candidates. And really, in my opinion, only one ironclad, guaranteed, you know, easy in.
There's a locked in set and forget guy, you think?
Yes. Just one, though.
Later
now,
on.
I think there's a two and three that you can get into that are pretty easy. And then four will once again be a debate. Although I think this debate is different than the player debate where we were having trouble on who to leave out for four. I think this is actually more of a problem of who to put in for
trouble,
four.
Who to include. That's exactly right. J-Mac, I know we were having some good off-air conversations. Do you feel the same way that there's one lock?
Yeah, I mean, are we saving it or like?
No.
It's Mike Shanahan, yeah, right?
I would be happy to start with the lock. It's Mike Shanahan. Yeah, no. What's the case for?
Well, the only coach with two. So it pretty much
point.
Just ends
it's
right
a great
there.
Point. Yeah.
The only coach Colorado history with two titles, unless I'm forgetting someone. I mean, there's like the Outlaws coach.
Right, there could be a DU hockey or mammoth coach we're maybe forgetting.
Yeah. But really, the
Pits
only
just have one
major coach with two. And then you add in the fact that he had the longevity, which I actually think plays a pretty big role in this. And while Bill Walsh definitely got the ball rolling, Mike Shanahan really helped revolutionize the NFL with the West Coast offense. So.
When
maybe I'm not giving Bill Walsh enough credit by saying he got the ball rolling. Bill Walsh invented the West Coast offense.
Bill Walsh literally invented the forward pass on Paul Brown's offense, you know. So, yeah. It really extends from there.
I'm not
for
giving
sure.
Mike Shanahan that credit, but Mike Shanahan is like, there's probably some like religious metaphor here about how like he took the good word and then he spread it.
Yeah, I mean, look at that Shanahan tree in the NFL right now, and it's pretty impressive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mike Shanahan, technically a branch on the Walsh tree, but his tree has a lot more limbs coming off of it.
Right.
When you got to factor in, too, I mean, the longevity, I think, is huge. The consistent success. They won 11-plus games in four of his first six seasons, and that's coming off of, you know, a stretch in which you made the playoffs only once in 4 years. at that point you had all of the postseason appearances, but you know you're never able to win the big game. And the fact that he's able to come in almost immediately and,
yeah,
in my opinion, should have three-peated. I mean, if you don't have a fluky outcome in that Jacksonville game in 96, and
could very well
very
have been,
likely,
yes,
you know, won three straight. I think they could have won three straight if Elway came back in 2000. Who knows? But
right,
it, just what he was able to do through that time. I mean, even that 05 team was so good. I think about that defense and offense all the time. And I don't know. I just don't think anybody comes close to Mike Shanahan. And I don't even really think it's that hard to make our point. Like,
yeah,
at that point, we just move on to two.
What's interesting, though, is there's now two guys who are active who could catch him in championships.
Right, are set up to be right there.
And what's crazy is it would be a disappointment if neither of them does it.
Big time. Big time. And in fact, what's funny is now we look back on Mike Shanahan's years, there's maybe a smidge of disappointment that before or after you couldn't do a little more.
It's the only reason why he stopped being the Broncos coach.
Yeah.
It's because it was like, well, the highs were so high, and now we're kind of stuck in this middle ground for too long where you just have to make a change. It's similar to the George Karl thing, but George Karl obviously never got to the peak. But it was just like, hey, like, we don't know if this is going to make us better, but we're tired of being average.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can anybody pass Shanahan to you guys, though? When you factor in, like, what those back-to-back Super Bowls meant to Denver, the fact that he got the titles for Elway, which I think is a thing you have to factor in as well.
It's a huge one. Getting the Broncos and Elway over the hump is massive.
If Shanahan doesn't come in, he's viewed in that like Dan Marino territory of, hey, like, yeah, he had all the talent in the world. You would take his passing abilities with the best of them, but he couldn't win the big game. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to that, and there's obviously something to this being a Broncos town, and so
it is a Broncos town. Like, as much I think it's the Nuggets are they're creeping up there, and Jokic, if he keeps doing this for another couple years, and the Broncos they keep swimming in mediocrity, all right, maybe, but it's gonna take like one okay Broncos season to completely reinvigorate the orange and blue love, and everybody's gonna be right back in drinking the Kool-Aid again.
For sure. And I think in the end, like, we're actually a true sports town, but, you know,
every parent has
a favorite child, and the Broncos are this state's favorite child.
At least historically.
Yes.
Historically, I wonder if that could change, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, could it shift more?
Yes, it could.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, like, it's hard to say with Bednar. So, well, we'll come back to this, because we're going to talk a lot of Malone and Bednar.
Yes.
But I do think that he can be passed. It's the same thing we were talking about with what can Jokic do to get to number one on the Mount Rushmore above John Elway?
Yeah.
Well, it starts with winning three. And if you have three, then you have a case at least.
Yeah.
You have a case. I think Jokic. I think for anyone to surpass what Elway wins in this town, it would have to be like four or five. Like, it couldn't just be just barely passing him.
And that would be an interesting conversation to have when it happens, because it would also include like the Nuggets being a true dynasty, which might be Denver's first ever dynasty.
Right. Because the thing about the Shanahan stretch is there's the back-to-back Super Bowls. There's obviously the season prior where they're one seed in the AFC, and there's the 05 AFC championship at home performance. There's not a sustained like playoff run beyond those 3 years in 96, 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
Already, Bednar and Malone have had more, you know, prolonged and sustained playoff eras and performances with their cores than Shanahan ever did in the late 90s, because of course Elway retires right after that second title.
Yep.
So that kind of cuts the run short. But I do think Shanahan's above the rest, because A, we have a lot of champions and we have a lot of like program builders. Shanahan's one of the few who kind of fits under both.
Yeah, he did both.
He inherits a pretty good team. So the program builder, he gets a bit of a softer, you know.
And that's where...
But you also inherit all of the weight of the moment and all of the failures that were not under him, but you are still responsible for turning it all around.
It's actually what he inherited is the worst place to be as a coach, because you're getting...
That's hell.
You're getting a good roster, right?
Yeah.
But anything short of winning a championship would be considered a failure. And that's where I think the job done by Jared Bednar and Michael Malone is actually a little tougher, but it includes less pressure. And so those two are in the next two.
Right. Two more champions and builders, right?
Yes.
It's either ors with the other guys. I think these are the three that fit both criterias and have sustained success. So prior to Bednar, the Az had never had a head coach last more than four seasons.
Pretty crazy.
Insane.
They were on some like Premier League shit.
They were.
You don't like, and what's crazy is the Avs won the division damn near every year for the beginning of their existence, and they were still changing coaches every 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, to me, are you in agreement? Those two are the next two?
I think you have to, just in terms of, I mean, Malone, I think you can't even argue it. He won the first championship. When you look at where the Nuggets were at as a franchise, you know, for a couple years there before he came in, even his first year, it was brutal. And you could say the same thing for Bednar, obviously, but I don't know. I think the Avs argument's a little bit more interesting because you have three different coaches, all basically with it's very similar resumes. I mean, pulling it up here, Jared Bednar, 592 winning percentage, three division titles, one Stanley Cup. We got Mark Crawford, 622 winning percentage, three division titles, one Stanley Cup, four if you count his division title with Quebec. Bob Hartley, 618 win percentage, four division titles, one Stanley Cup. So, I mean, both of those other Avs coaches have a higher win percentage than Bednar, have as many division titles and as many championships.
And that's why it's actually a knock on those guys to me.
That they should have done more?
Well, no, that they inherited a great team. Jared Bednar inherited a team that won that got 48 points his first season. And sure, you know, that was under his watch, but it was really his, you know, he inherited that, right?
Yeah.
And so he took them from that to what they are now, which is a powerhouse. Whereas the other guys, they got a good team.
Well, and he was able to break through too. Like, Bednar has he built it, you got to the playoff, and he was able to do, you know, what George Karl wasn't able to do after having all those years. It's like you're there year after year, but can't get out of the first round. Like, he was able to break through, and that's a tough spot to be in.
Yes.
Like, he could have very easily started to be in that Dan Reeves territory, which I think Reeves gets not enough love for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Great builder, not a champion.
I know.
I also think John Fox.
Great builder, Ryan. Yep. All-time builder, I'd argue.
Yeah, I mean, there are such things as like a point A to point B coach.
Mm-hmm.
Point C is for championship, but you got to get a from A to B at some point.
That's
what we were talking about with the Broncos recently. Is it's like everyone has these high expectations immediately, and it's like to get to C, you have to hit B first. And I think it's true of a lot of places.
Look at now, your shirt.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect example of like we're hoping to go from here A to C. You got to go from A to B to C.
Yes, of course. Yep. And that's exactly.
And it takes different coaches to get you from A to B or B to C, right?
Right. You know, like for CU basketball, we talk about Jeff Bezdelic, who, you know, got it in his contract that they would have to build a new basketball facility because basketball was sharing.
Yeah.
And Tad Boyle inherits it. He becomes the best coach in program history. Like, there's usually someone before it that sets the stage. And there are a lot of those in Denver sports history of like, oh, this guy doesn't get quite enough credit because he didn't do the thing. But you needed him, big part of the story.
Absolutely. I think, you know, Red Miller's the OG builder. And he does it in a much shorter time than guys we just mentioned. But that's the Broncos' first playoff appearance, first playoff win, first finals appearance.
First division title.
Those are monumental achievements at that stage in Denver as a sports town. And I mean, look at the kind of guys he beats to get there. You're talking about John Madden's Raiders. You're talking about those great Steelers
AFC
teams.
Title game.
Right. I mean, you know, and then you lose to Tom Landry, another true OG.
Well, I mean, from what I've read.
Problem, it turns out. Fun fact about Tom Landry.
How did you? Is that real?
That's real.
Wow.
That's real. Yeah. He likes his uppers. Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
And I think Red Miller.
The Broncos could be in a different city if it wasn't for him, based on some of the stuff I've read. Like, yeah, interest in pro football was not high. Yeah. Like,
what's crazy is Nuggets history is nothing but playoff appearances for the first 20 years. Broncos are the exact opposite.
Bro, it is crazy out there.
Yeah, it's just the noises we are hearing off the building are nuts.
It looks like kind of like a hurricane. Like, there's like mist blowing around.
It does. And actually, while we're here, Ryan, speaking of nuts and hurricanes and the wild aesthetic that can sometimes come in summer, don't let that be your nuts this summer. Get them under control with the good friends at manscaped.com. whereby using code DNVR, you will get 20% off plus free shipping your first order. I, of course, am all in on the weed whacker. Spence agreed with me, a little pre-father. He's got some nose hairs. Might not be an issue for you guys. We decided on bets. This is an issue for the dark featured boys. Maybe you blondies over here don't have this, but when I've got a low creeper from the nose hairs, you're going to see it, okay? Wow, it's going to stick out to you. So the weed whacker at Manscaped has me covered. Of course, you know, it's golf season. You don't want to get chafed up. They've got you covered with all their creams, balms, and what have you. Spence was talking about helping his brother move. Holy, I was chafing just hearing him talk about that. I was like, wow, I forgot helping people move.
Someone asked
thing.
Me to help them move. I'm sending them a number for a moving company.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm like, out of town that day.
Yeah, like, we're not in college anymore, bro. I'm not helping you move out of your dorm room.
I'll give you pizza, though.
Yeah. I'll help you write an email, you know?
I'll buy you lunch if you come help me move.
I'll jump on
moving is my least favorite thing in the world. But I don't even want to do it for myself.
I'll jump on a spreadsheet, create a spreadsheet to like, figure out your moving budget, maybe, but... physically taking boxes from one
couches.
Area to... I will not be doing that. Manscaped.com, code DMVR, 20% off, plus free shipping. And, of course, the homies at Breck Brew, the OG homies, always been on our side. Justin's knocking over my laptop. He's so hyped
Breck Brews
about Breck Brewery. They'll do that to you. J Mike, of course, the insider from Breck Brew.
It's true.
He was telling me you can get slushed up at the farmhouse.
New beer slushies, guys, at the farmhouse.
Beer slushies.
They're awesome. Had about four on my birthday, so
Ryan,
highly recommend it.
We haven't decided what summer it is yet.
It's slushy summer.
Could it be the summer of... Could it be a slush summer?
It's slush summer.
Kinda slush season, baby.
It's been a little slushy this summer. This kind of weather, real slushy, you know?
Yeah.
We're just kind of like, I don't know, Nuggets won a title, feeling a little sloshy.
It might be a sloshy summer, too.
And there you are, the homies at Breck Brew, they have you covered. Go check out the farmhouse. Go check out all your favorite Breck Brews on the Breck Brew locator. Tell them DMVR sent you. It's Breck Brew season. Whatever your flavor is, get in on it. They will not disappoint.
I feel honored that Eric Weedham is watching us from Serbia.
It's amazing. Hey,
buddy.
God, he's such a homie.
Not that he's the first person to ever watch one of our shows from Serbia, but...
I'm just honored that
he is on vacation and decided to watch us talk about
right,
this.
Right.
And also,
I mean,
we have more comments than thumbs up. That's not fair. If you're commenting, at least hit us with a thumbs up.
Gosh, that's kind of savage of them to do that to us. Okay. Malone. Bedsy. We've got Mike Shanahan in there. Is it too early to crown those guys?
I don't think so. And both of them, like I said, like we were kind of talking about, had to go from a really low point to the peak. You know, both of them took over a difficult situation. Now,
maybe not quite the lowest points in franchise history. For Bedsy, I think it is.
Yes.
But John Fox, when he takes over, I also think it is. Nuggets have had a few other as low points.
Was Jokic selected yet before Malone?
They
were selected the same.
Yeah,
okay.
The same. Because
then Jokic the
stayed
same
over.
Year.
Stayed over for a year.
And then came.
Yep.
Okay.
They both
so
came over in
2015. When Malone got here, it was a very bare cupboard.
It's like Darrell Arthur.
Yeah.
I was
Wilson
trying to
Chandler.
Think. Yeah. Wilson Chandler was a top three player on that team.
Yep, yep. Of course, Danilo Gallinari, Andre's guy.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, Bednar, he did inherit Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah. The way he's hired with Waugh quitting, I mean, towards the end of the offseason and then having that 48-point season, that's a really tough way to start.
Yeah.
And an incredibly young squad, too.
I wasn't necessarily planning on this, but we do have to pick which one goes second on the mountain. And I think it might be Malone because he inherited less and did more with a less traditionally dominant franchise. Or did the same amount, we should say. But succeeding with the Avs in theory is easier than succeeding with the Nuggets.
It is. Also, man, that Bedsy title team is stacked.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to factor in, I think, just the hurdles of being a not major market team in the NBA. You don't deal with that in the NHL, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You know, like it is a legitimate hurdle to overcome the officiating and the way that certain stars, certain teams are going to get a favorable whistle. Like
the arc of the franchises couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of my whole life, I was told the Nuggets could never win a championship. The Avs just showed up and won one immediately.
Yep.
Peak Nuggets sure was did. Losing to the Lakers in the Western Finals a couple times.
Yes. Yes. So getting over that hump. Now, it's crazy because it would be really hard to contextualize this without great players. Like, in terms of who's the best coach, might not even be on our list because it's someone who did the most with the least.
Yeah, it's X's and O's. And
all of these great coaches that we're talking about also were just accompanied by the best players. You know, Malone gets the best player in the NBA to help him get on the Mount Rushmore of Denver coaches. Like Red Miller might be the best coach.
Sonny Lubick. I know we're not talking about that right now, but if you're talking about like a guy who came into a program that historically did nothing before, has done nothing since, and he did nothing but win there for a decade plus.
Yeah, I mean, Bill McCartney in that same vein.
Well, I would put both. If I was just looking at like the greatest coaches in Colorado history, both of those coaches would be on my Mount Rushmore. To me, like it's those two, Shanahan and Malone.
That's an interesting.
And I don't even want to get into that because
Malone's ranking comes in handy.
Yeah. And
two
I mean,
over Bedsy.
It is. It's just so hard to go college and pro.
Well, and it's.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, a CSU and CU coaching Mount Rushmore on their own of like all the coaches, all the sports they've had, the four greatest would be really interesting, right? Does Tad fall in there? You know, what kind of old greats do you have on the cross-country side? You know, right?
Chops that go skiing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That becomes a much more extensive, fun discussion. And I mean, look, Clint Hurdle takes over the Rockies in 02 and then has the 07 and 09 season.
I mean, if they win 07, he's absolutely on here with a bullet.
100%.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No, he got swept instead.
In 30 years as a franchise, the peak of the Rockies is finishing second in the NL West twice in 3 years.
Yeah.
Right. Never done that at any other point. Haven't done it since.
And that happens under Bud Black, essentially. Or no, you're talking Clint Hurdle.
You have Clint Hurdle in 07. He gets fired halfway through 08, and that's basically because they're being held to the expectation that they were a World Series team when in reality they were more like a 500 team. Yeah. They went on this fluky run. They were who they actually were in 08. Anyways, he gets fired. They bring in Tracy in 09. They have probably a more complete team than that 07 team, but they just
Houston
can't make
Street
the run.
Blows two saves in the first round. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And that's what I was going to say is like, you kind of, a coach is really only as good as players.
How far under the top 10 do you think we would have to go until you would get a Rockies manager on there? Like how many Broncos coaches, how many Avs coaches, how many Nuggets coaches?
I mean, every coach with a championship is getting listed.
Right.
There's six of them, right?
Three Avs coaches, two Broncos coaches.
No, that's, yeah. So yes, you have Mark Crawford.
But then you're getting
Bob
to
Hartley.
Bob Hartley and Bednar for the Avs, Michael Malone and Shanahan and Kubiak. Those are your
top six
champions.
If we're doing pro only.
So Eric thinks that Bednar should be second. And he says Malone hasn't been lauded at all until just now. Drove the fan base crazy until just now.
So did Bednar, though.
Not me. I mean, not me. I can't speak for everyone, but like,
I think some of his stuff with rookies definitely rubbed people the wrong way, but it worked. Like, he's vindicated in the end. His process with MPJ, his process with Jamal Murray, like, he was right.
Yeah.
I mean, what did J. Mike say earlier? The peak of Nuggets had been getting to the Western Conference Finals, losing to the Lakers. Yeah. It's the only coach in their history who's done a Western Conference Finals appearance twice.
Yep. Yep.
Already has that on his resume.
And he beat the Lakers.
He actually has the chip.
And then he won the chip.
And the finals appearance. Yeah. Those milestones to me for Malone are a separator in earning that second spot.
Okay.
Also, it shouldn't be factored in, but the way he's gone about things the last couple months is a nice, fun cherry.
That should
on
be
top.
Factored in.
Absolutely.
A coach is just part of the character in the universe.
Although,
and he's played his character
damn straight.
He deserves an Oscar for
absolutely.
It.
Mike's killing. No arguments, but Bedsy was pretty lit at the parade too.
Yeah, he was, but he's like,
he was more emotional, and I mean, it was,
he's painfully boring every other moment.
I guess I know. That's what was just nice to see it, though, is you knew how genuine that was for him let loose and to hear him be, I love you guys.
Yeah, I mean, his parade performance was fantastic, but Malone's like, he's nailed every press conference for like 3 months.
Yeah. It's
does he have a target on his back now, though? Because like, when you're the loud and,
well, apparently LeBron is motivated,
he's mad
to
at him,
take him down.
So we've listed our champions and we've listed our 2-3 candidates.
So we're in agreement on 1-3.
Yeah, I worry there's a smidge recency bias. Like, we did just list off the three coaches who won chips like in our lifetimes, right?
I think they're like, the Avs one is certainly, Bedsy's getting a little bump for being the guy right now.
Already had a longer tenure than any Avs coach prior to him.
That's true, but
it's big.
The resume, like Justin pointed out, is very similar.
Well, and I wonder how, because people really hate Mark Crawford, and I wonder how much his Vancouver stint like offsets what he did in Denver, being the fact that he was the head coach of like the most hated, outside of the Red Wings, the most hated team this franchise has ever gone against.
But all of this stuff matters. You know, we can if Michael Malone, God forbid, ever became coach of the Lakers, we can go back and retroactively take him off the mountain.
Well, that's what I used against it, because originally I was like, look, they're statistically speaking, what Crawford and Bednar have done, basically the exact same. Crawford delivered Denver its first championship ever, which originally I was like, that should be, have him higher in this conversation, the lore of what that meant.
Yeah.
But then I'm sitting there thinking, like, I've never hated a player in any sport as much as I've hated Todd Bertuzzi. And all I can think is like Crawford and Granato getting into it.
I'm Crawford like, defending
him. I'm not putting that guy in my top Denver. Like, he lost his Denver sports card.
Yes. You absolutely can just be banned. And he was.
Yeah, we're kicking you out of the club.
If, to a lesser
if
extent,
if Sonny Lubick
this.
Became the coach of Wyoming, you think of him differently.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Don't do that. Don't go down
that
road.
Well, I was going to say, like, if Bill McCartney became the coach of Nebraska, but I wanted to say it in a way that you would understand more.
I mean, Crawford's an interesting one, but I think that all counts, and it's honestly not dissimilar to what we were talking about. Not that Mel came up a ton in the all-time greatest athletes, but like, that's if we had this conversation about a Nuggets Mount Rushmore, I think that, you know, the aftermath of the Melo trade certainly factors into that, right? Like, it does matter how you go about things.
That one's so wonky, though, because that one's all like age dependent. Like, if you're I'm 28 years old. Before Carmelo Anthony, I could not have cared less about the Nuggets. They might as well have been the Rapids. They were so irrelevant. None of my friends liked the Nuggets. Nobody cared.
I was lucky because, my grandpa turned me on to sports, and the only one that he didn't care about was the Nuggets. I just had like a camp counselor who loved the Nuggets, and that's what made me start paying attention to them, even when they were really shitty. But you're right. And then, like, Carmelo made the Nuggets cool for sure.
Well, and it's also one of those things, like, the way he handled it was salt in the wounds. But Denver was better off because he handled it the way that he did. Like, were we just going to let him walk, get nothing? Like, the Melo trade resulted in an entire other era with Gallo and all those guys. That was a fun team. If his knee doesn't go out, who knows what happens in 2013. Obviously, Jamal Murray's the big piece of that now. I guess I'm just like, we're to a point now where all NBA superstars do exactly what he did. He was just one of the first to do it.
Yeah, I've already completely forgiven. So once the Nuggets won the championship, I was good. I don't care anymore.
Should they retire 15 twice?
No.
I'm not going to forgive Melo because the returns on his trade ended up be good. Just like I'm not going to
give doing a Melo pod
Josh
right
McDaniels credit for pulling off a good like Jay Cutler trade.
No, it's fair.
He didn't.
His
DT, trade was fucking terrible.
DT straight up. That's all that matters.
That's a bad trade.
I'll never forgive you for the Alfonso Smith trade.
Yeah, or Brett Kern.
What a dick, man.
Broncos punting situation has been cursed ever since. Although Britton Kolko is pretty
We've
good.
Gone through the champions. I want to talk builders for a second.
Wait. Okay. Do you have an ad to hit?
Yeah, because at Illegal Pete's, they also love builders where you could build your, what are the nachos called?
Reverse nachos.
Reverse nachos or a beautiful burrito. Some great Takis. You can build stuff left and right. Explain what reverse nachos are.
Reverse nachos is you get all the stuff that would go on nachos on the side. So you just get a bowl of everything that you would like to have on nachos. Queso, chicken, rice, beans.
Okay, yeah.
You really get a giant queso burrito bowl.
Yeah.
And a side of chips.
And you're going to get way more chips that way than if you order it on top.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Dude, we need Pete's like close to our homes.
Come out to Lakewood, guys. Pete's, if you're listening.
Pete's, come on. I need this
Isn't
for dinner
close to
right
work
now.
The same as close to home?
Yeah, maybe pick it up on your way. Maybe I'll just stop on my way. That's fine. And these sickos at Pete's, their food's amazing. They love DMVR. They call it happy hour, but it's 3 to 8. It's like literally the largest dinner window they could ever offer you, and they're calling it happy hour just to hook you up. It's porch season, which if we weren't doing TDSP during a monsoon would sound delightful.
Sun's back out.
The sun's back out. They'll hook it up with drinks. I don't even know how we got so lucky to partner with Pete's. They are just the best. Check them out at all their locations. 3 to 8 p.m. Get in on that happy hour.
So
they
hungry.
Will not let you down. I'm hungry too. I ate at 11:45. Somehow I'm still hungry. Maybe after I stop at Pete's, I'll stop for a little snack time at a Circle K on my drive home.
Oh,
yeah, it's a long journey going back to Lakewood. Justin gets it. Justin, what's your favorite Circle K gas station snackaroo?
Going either the Bold Chex Mix or Gardetto's. Ooh. I'm getting a treat at this point, so I'm going to go that with some Reese's and a Mountain Dew because I'm just going to pretend diabetes doesn't exist, but I'm going to enjoy myself for like 15 minutes.
I said the Gardetto's all rye chips.
Oh, so good.
Dang, special edition.
What a king. Kale, I know you've got one. You want to give us yours?
Mine's the same as RK's, so like I can't.
So you go to Kind Love and then you...
Yeah, you go to Kind Love. You swing by a Circle K or... redacted in my case that is closer to my house, and you get
Circle K
for sure, and you get a Mountain Dew, you get some Gardettos, and you get the like spree chewy candies.
Ooh. Man, that sounds amazing. I'm a big Harbro guy, of course. Get some gummies. Lately Harbro has these like clouds.
Isn't it Haribo?
I thought it was Haribo.
See, you can. It's dealer's choice, bro. They're not gonna correct you. They don't care. Thanks to Circle K for sponsoring DMVR.
Three different pronunciations. That was amazing.
Visit the nearest Circle K to pick up all your favorite snacks. These guys just gave you the full game plan. Go and follow it. Boom.
Eric says even Australians like Illegal Pete's.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Of course they do, though. Australians, they love lots of stuff. We've gone over the champions. It's time for the builders. Oh, and my notes app decided to kill my notes. That's okay. We don't need them.
They're gone?
They're gone. Oh, right. I slacked them to you. That's great. Okay. Clint Hurdle, Bud Black on the Rockies side.
So are we holding that fourth position for a later conversation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about other candidates, right? We've talked about the other champions. The Nuggets, surprisingly, lots of builders. Larry Brown, 652 win percentage, 74-79.
It's kind of wild that, like,
I know,
one of the best basketball coaches ever.
Of all time.
Coached the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And doesn't really get mentioned in Denver sports coaching lore or any lore.
Look up Larry Brown on a Nuggets sideline in those years. Insane looks and fits as well. Yeah. Like a literal hippie from Pearl Street in the 70s. I mean, it's crazy. And they end the NBA in spectacular fashion, go into the NBA, ABA, NBA, whatever, in spectacular fashion as well. Very good stretch. Then Doug Moe, who Eric has nominated as his fourth, kind of a, you know, a symbol of an era. The entire decade of the 80s, Doug coaches them.
They make the playoffs.
Exactly. Nine straight. Some iconic players, iconic teams, definitely a builder. And George Karl counts as a builder. I think Dan Issel earns an honorable mention. And in the Broncos, we've mentioned Red Miller, huge builder. We've mentioned Dan Reeves, who, look, can get all the hate he wants, but three Super Bowl appearances cannot be argued against. I mean, that entire Elway tenure would be so different if Dan Reeves isn't there. It might be better. Yeah, who knows? Also, we need to remember, in those years, the NFC was, like, head and shoulders above the AFC.
Oh, yeah. The Cowboys, like, the you know, these aren't your dad's Cowboys. Those were your dad's Cowboys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And your dad's 49ers.
And John Fox. John Fox is a hell of a builder. Maybe inherits the Broncos with John Elway as GM at their lowest point. Post-McDaniels.
Yes. McDaniels like shamed the franchise not just by being terrible but also by cheating. The Broncos were at their worst point ever.
We was cheating.
And
he makes the playoffs. It's nothing but playoff appearance, playoff appearance, playoff appearance, playoff appearance.
Well, yeah, and you know he like has the Tebow season,
epic,
which is like
that's his best coaching.
I was gonna say his best coaching job.
I hate that we're all John Fox guys.
Well, I'm not a John Fox guy. It's an overcorrection. Like, I have to correct for everyone hating him so much when he was actually a good coach. He just wasn't a great coach.
Four straight division titles, something no other coach in the history of the franchise has done. I mean, when you look at... I was surprised to see that Shanahan only had three division titles.
That's what I'm saying, man. The peaks are really high with Shanny. The sustained success isn't there. It's a lot of 8-8, 9-7 seasons.
Yep. And also, like, we can't do this thing because it's unfair to say that Peyton Manning did all the work for John Fox and then turn around and, like, pat Mike Malone on the back. Like,
agreed.
Michael Malone has the NBA version of Peyton Manning on his team right now.
Damn straight. And look, all these guys, they all had superstars.
Yes. We just did a show last week about all the incredible talent that's happened in Denver. All of the good coaches are buoyed by all the incredible talent.
That's how sports work.
I think the toughest part with Fox, and I mean, it's probably, I guess, you know, very ironic of me to say that you should appreciate Dan Reeves more and then come on and basically argue against Fox, but you have the brutal Baltimore loss, the Super Bowl in such an embarrassing fashion. And to me, actually, the worst loss of that entire era was that Colts playoff loss where you lose. Andrew Luck comes in. I'm sitting in the stands with my dad. That is the most pissed off I've ever been. Like, they were never once in that game.
Yeah, that was rough. I've actually just erased it from my memory. We talked about that on the Broncos show. Like, I don't remember any details about that game.
It wasn't fun. So good.
Yeah.
And there's actually so Foxy, a couple of those in that tender.
Yeah, and so Foxy gets knocked because he didn't do it, of course. And I think that's the difference between a good and great coach. Like, he was a good coach. He did things with really bad rosters that, you know, should be celebrated. But in the end, he has, you know, one of, sadly, the Broncos have a lot of them, one of the most embarrassing losses in Broncos history in the Super Bowl. And that Ravens game, which I put maybe more on him than I put on Raheem Moore.
I'd put it 100% on John Fox. The last 2 minutes playing for overtime, there are a million things you can nitpick on that.
Imagine
that's
like,
the one that hurts the most.
After the Chiefs went down and scored in 12 seconds, Imagine taking a knee with Peyton Manning as your quarterback in his prime.
In the greatest offense in NFL history.
Yes, well, 1 year before the greatest offense.
I blame the weather, playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They were amazing. But you had Peyton Manning and 30 seconds, and you decided to kneel it out. Now, it was freezing and all that stuff, but
Peyton just
I threw my TV remote while watching that game with my dad when they started to kneel, and he's like, it's not that big of a deal. I was like, they've got all the momentum. As soon as that game went to OT, it was
done. You need like 20 yards.
You had Prater.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like you have to gain 20 yards in 30 seconds.
The weather that day was so
brutal. It was freezing. So
I'll never forget the next day was like nice and sunny. And I swear they blow them out by 3 fucking touchdowns if that's the weather we got for the playoff game.
Yep. So anyways, John Fox isn't in this conversation of being on the Mount Rushmore. But
for a builder, a short tenure as well.
I am like a John Fox hater who has now had to like just make sure we realize that he wasn't a bad coach.
He's not a bad coach. He's just not a great coach.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He's an A to B guy.
Him and Red Miller, surprisingly short tenures, just 3 and 4 years.
So that probably, yeah.
That's your builders. I think there's an added category that I called the pioneers. Red Miller falls into that. Don Baylor, first playoff appearance, right? And to take an expansion team and turn them into a playoff
team. Don't pioneers like find something?
First playoff
appearance. Discover something.
First playoff appearances. That's what they found.
I'm just saying, like, he found a deserted island. He doesn't get any
special. The island is still technically open.
Yes, it is true.
They found like...
it hasn't washed under the sea quite yet.
They dug deep. They found a diamond. It just turned out it was like a pretty cloudy, crappy diamond.
Fair enough.
Well, they found the diamond nonetheless, Ryan. Come on. Larry Brown. And I don't know who the Avs...
It's Crawford. Pioneer just
it's probably Crawford. The Avs don't really have a builder. They don't necessarily have a pioneer. That's weird. But they have 3 champions.
Bednar's a builder.
Bednar does qualify under the builder category.
Also, like, maybe Patrick Waugh low-key counts as a builder.
He gets the, like, when I try to piss off Allie and I'm like, Chip Kelly low-key helped build that Super Bowl team that dug. And I'll do it with McDaniels, too. Like, you don't win the Super Bowl without some of McDaniels' picks.
And you have to imagine.
Primarily Demaryius Thomas.
And you have to imagine that Patrick Waugh was in those conversations in which they decided to take Nathan MacKinnon.
And they, I mean,
great point.
You had the 2013 run under Waugh, which was fun. Obviously, the wheels fell off at the end, but they were really bad before he came in. I think 2011, worst team in the league. I went to a game where they lost 7-0.
I mean, that was in my heyday of listening to sports talk radio. And
Me too.
Sports talk radio host in the state wanted the Avs to draft Seth Jones.
It's true.
Well, Popeye's son.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, Popeye's son. He grew up in Denver.
And fairness.
That was about the best hockey analysis we could get.
I mean, guys, when you have the chance to draft Popeye's son, you kind of do it.
Well, you don't. It turns out.
In this town, you draft Popeye's son. Do you hear me? Like, Popeye was some big fucking deal, you know?
Oh, those are the same people that are saying Dave Logan should have been hired by CU CSU 15 times. Oh, so.
Someone's probably going to say Dave Logan should be on this list.
Justin really
wants... Then you'll get a Bob Stitt reference in there, too.
Justin's really open for that one negative pod review to come out of today from, like, that 55-year-old
How dare you disrespect Dave? He won at Wheat Ridge, at Mullen.
Oh, man. If you'd love to leave a negative review or a positive review, we are the DMVR Podcast Network. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts. We also have a beautiful website where people like Justin write tremendous stuff about all Denver sports, great insights. If you are a member and like us, you grew up a Denver sports fan, gosh, check out the DMVR locker where you can find this beautiful Nug Life t-shirt, the Pride and Tradition t-shirt that Ryan's rocking, and unequivocally the best Denver sports gear that the world has ever seen. Come at me all you want. You can't.
I'm ruined for other shirts. I'm wearing a different brand shirt today.
Of course.
And I'm like, it doesn't even feel good on my skin.
It's true.
And, you know, when you are a diehard with us, a member, and you want access to all of that, you're also going to get a free shirt every single year. You're going to get 20% off all merch always. You're going to get 20% off all our events, some amazing events coming up. I actually don't want to blow anything, but this summer we've got some incredible stuff on the docket, including what I can talk about, some great golf tournaments right around the corner. Of course, you get access to our member-only Discord, where I hear Adam was dropping some draft clips, a little film breakdown in there on the Nuggets channel. I'm in like a couple fantasy leagues. I actually need to hop on there and chat with some guys. And that's on top of exclusive merch, everything else. If you are a Denver sports fan, a true Denver sports fan, something like this hasn't existed before, and it does now. If you're not in on this, I'm sorry, but you're missing out. That's just plain and simple the fact. Check us out at thedmvr.com, where you can see all the great perks and sign up and become a DMVR member today.
Oh, great read.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, so I have a confession to make.
We teased it. We need a fourth.
I'm entering this conversation fourthless.
I'm ready for you, the chat, Kale, intern Nick, to sway me.
Like, I don't have a convicted take. Sure, if we were including college coaches, I would put my foot down for Bill McCartney. And honestly, then Justin would put his foot down for Sonny Lubick, and, you know, we could go back and forth on that for a while.
I think the thing is those two are in the top five. Like, to me, it's when you look at what they did, just both of them had 9 bowl appearances, and that was in times where you could go have a winning season and still not get an invite. Right. Sonny had 3 other seasons where they won 7 or 8 games, still didn't get a bowl invite. Crazy. Like, it was a completely different standard. But yeah, with pro, it's so hard. I mean, you could look at a guy like Doug Moe, who's obviously in the rafters. I don't think it can be the other Avs coaches because it's not sustained enough.
I know. It's like you now have this weird decision between longevity.
Is it Coops?
Or success.
The fourth becomes builder versus champion. That's why I set it up this way. You have to choose one or the other.
Here was the interesting case I was going to make. Can your assistant coaching career help buoy you in this scenario? Because Gary Kubiak is the only person not named John Elway who has his hand in all 3 Denver Broncos championships.
And 5 AFC title appearances, 5 or 6.
So, but what's hard about his assistant coaching career is he is an offensive coordinator for an offensive coach, which just never gets as much credit. He wasn't calling the plays, I don't think. And it hurts a little bit. But it is an interesting part of this where it's like he was on the sidelines for 3.
But here's the thing that I think also should help Kubiak, and it's similar with Shanahan and just being able to completely change the way that the Elway era is looked at. With Kubiak coming in and winning with Manning, that era is just looked at so much differently.
Oh, yeah, he saved it.
Yeah, otherwise it's just like, yeah, it was neat and all. That was fun. They put up big numbers, but they never won anything that mattered.
Right now, like, we claim Peyton Manning as ours.
Yep.
They don't get that championship. He has more of a hired gun feel.
Yeah. It's like when you have like Joe Montana going over to the Chiefs or something like that. Yeah. It just feels so weird.
Yes. So
Kubiak is a very strong case. It is just such a short tenure as the head coach.
Absolutely. It also should be noted that next year, the only winning season in the post-Peyton Manning era, coached by Gary Kubiak.
I think it's Kubes. I really do.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that.
If we're limiting ourselves to pro coaches, I think it's Coops because he won the title. Like, the longevity isn't there, but there's a lot of guys, Doug Moe, George Karl, who have better longevity, but they couldn't win. And at the end of the day, like, winning titles is what matters. This is what puts Kubiak Reeves. Sorry, drawing a blank for half a second.
That's what I would have said if we were debating Kubiak or Lubick and McCartney. Titles are
McCartney would be one because he has half a national championship, and you can blame Osborne for it. But,
exactly.
Oh, I
that's a full national championship. Yeah. We're not talking about the coach's poll here.
Historically, you are wrong.
I don't know how you could go with a guy who's just done it 2 years, and I do think we need to just assess.
So then who would it be for you?
Head coaching tenure. To me...
Is it Reeves?
To me... I would then dwindle it down to tenured coaches versus champion coaches, and I shouldn't factor this in, but I think it does play a part in it, who also had pretty successful careers in other places. John Fox, Larry Brown,
John Fox,
Kubiak, and Dan Reeves all come to mind.
Dude, Dan Reeves, if you factor in his time as an assistant coach, head coach, player, he's been a part of like 9 Super Bowls.
It's a 7-6 record in the playoffs as the Broncos head coach.
Impressive.
It's 3-0 in AFC championships. It's three Coach of the Year awards.
Wow.
For Dan Reeves.
That's probably the most.
Mm-hmm. 84, 89, 91. I just think he has the edge on Doug Moe because he won more.
I think he's above Moe for sure. I just think
Kubiak
are really interesting.
You have Moe higher than Reeves?
Yep.
It's gotta be Doug Moe.
I think Doug Moe's my fourth.
Can you justify it?
I don't know if there's anything all that substantial.
What did he accomplish, though?
He's a lot of winning with the Nuggets.
Then, I mean, George Karl had a better record, right?
I don't know the answer to that.
I have it pulled up, sorry. Why? Just
because.
Why is that winning more valuable, I guess? I'm just pressing you on it. I don't necessarily disagree.
And this is what I mean by when I said I don't have a strong take on this. Like, I'm not ready to say this is valid or this is invalid. Part of it is the way you are felt about afterwards. And Doug Moe is a beloved character in Denver sports history. He also, you know, we talk about Mike Malone playing the role. Doug Moe played the shit out of the role. And you know, he has his name in the rafters. There's not another coach I think that can say that.
Well, Shanahan's in the Ring of Fame. Yeah.
He is in the Ring of Fame, which Izzle, is slightly different, but similar.
Dan Izzle as a player, coach, executive, I think is kind of all-encompassing in the rafters.
Doug Moe has more career wins with Denver, 432, 357. George Karl had a higher winning percentage, but Moe was here for a couple seasons longer. Moe, 9 straight playoff appearances, 0 losing seasons. Karl, 8 straight playoff appearances, 0 losing seasons, 3 division titles, 1 more than Moe.
It's tough.
Doug Moe's iconic. I don't think he's iconic like the drive, like the fumble.
I think what Dan Reeves...
Look, dude, and Dan Reeves sets that team up to where Shanny can inherit it.
Don't you think Dan Reeves is more remembered for what he didn't do than what he did do?
I think you two can answer this better than... I think I'm just young enough to where, like, I don't really factor into it. I know the history, but...
You're right that the, like...
It was all, like, especially now in revisionist history, it's like everyone says, oh...
You should have appreciated it more.
Dan Reeves was holding John Elway back.
Well, he probably... look at some of the offense...
No, he was. Yes.
Yeah. He was. But that's how football was. That wasn't just him specific. That's just how it's done.
It's also like, when Dan Reeves leaves, what happens to the Broncos? When Doug Moe leaves, who set the team up for more longevity and success after their tenure?
I don't think you get...
And who had more epic moments during their tenure?
I think that just means you did less when you had them.
The peak of Doug Moe's tenure is going into the Western Conference Finals against the Showtime Lakers and being like, this is as far as we can go.
Yep, same thing as...
Which also, they lose... Alex English gets injured in that series.
Going up against the Showtime Lakers is the same thing as running into Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. It's just one round later because they were in the opposite conference.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'm very conflicted right now.
I think I'm going Reeves, guys. I think the Dan Reeves tenure ultimately means more.
I think you've talked me into it.
What is the Pat Bowlen era if you don't have 11 years of Dan Reeves taking you to the playoffs every time? And three different AFC championship wins. Well, what is the Broncos franchise, which is synonymous with winning, if you don't have that? It's a lot of like the 60s and 70s complete garbage. You know, if you don't have the 80s,
all of that success coincides with John Elway.
It does. I mean, so all these guys have great players.
If you had a different coach, you're probably doing the
same.
Yeah,
but Malone's not winning a ring without Jokic.
I know, but it's the same thing as...
are you saying Doug Moe just...
He's in the John Fox conversation, though.
Doug Moe just won less because instead of having John Elway, who's maybe the Magic Johnson, he had the Vinny Testaverde, who would have been the Alex English.
Tail.
So I think you have to look at this like as if Malone had not won. Like, what would Malone's legacy be had he wasted Jokic's prime, which is effectively what Dan Reeves did?
Wasted?
I don't think...
They didn't win a Super Bowl!
Three Super Bowl appearances!
This isn't fair. It's really hard because John Elway did what LeBron did with the Cavs for his first, whatever, 5-6 years, which is just like
take teams who have no
business being there and bringing them all the way to the finals where they run into a team that they have no business playing against and they lose. Dan Reeves is part of that. I just don't know how much credit he gets when you didn't get the championship. Once you get the championship, like all of the questions about you kind of go away.
But that's where I think you have to look at the history before debt, before Reeves, and even after.
Doug Moe is like...
But more entertaining. I mean, he's at least got that. He's got the schematic chops.
I guess I'm thinking of Doug Moe in the way that we talk about Bill McCartney and Sonny Lubick, which is like showed up to a team that didn't have much going for him and made them really good for a long time.
But... Literally, he inherits, like, he comes into a very successful Larry Brown tenure, one bad year, and then just picks it up and runs with it. You know, all this is kind of, I think I might have just talked myself into Gary Kubiak through all this.
You know, I think you talked me into Reeves.
You know where I ended up? There isn't one. The fourth.
It's
head
Sonny
is
slash
blank.
Bill. Yeah. It's just a college.
Bill McCartney's such a clean fit. That fourth spot, right?
Yeah, but then you're like bringing in George Gwazdecki and...
No, we're not.
Bill Tierney.
There's levels to this. Like, as somebody that hosts a college podcast, yes. Do I care that CSU volleyball wins all these titles? Hell yeah, it's awesome.
It's fun,
I love when track wins? Yes, but let's not pretend that it's on the same...
It's not on the same platform.
I also think we need to remember what college football was in this region because of those two coaches... And the winning at that level that was happening.
It's unprecedented. It
hasn't
like happened
since. Major
sense.
Four team.
Yeah.
Right? Like those teams, the rank constantly felt like they mattered at the level of these teams. That probably is the answer. That's the clean solution.
I'm not willing to.
I hate how new a Mount Rushmore of Shanny, Malone, Bedsy Kubiak feels. We sound like we just made a TikTok as a 13-year-old, you know? No offense, Nick.
He wasn't listening.
You know, like...
I think it's Reeves no. Because you establish...
That stretch is more epic,
you
Ryan.
Establish what
you.
The Broncos are today without... I know Elway is the
People
main...
People don't even like Dan Reeves, let alone love him.
Who's your final four?
Being likable and being a good... People don't like Bill Belichick either. He's the greatest coach of all time.
I'm not sure Shanny's super duper likable now.
I'm talking about fans. When fans think about Dan Reeves, they don't have good feelings. They have bad feelings.
Post-Super Bowl?
No.
Like Justin's forgiven Melo, but the 40-year-olds in our life can't have forgiven Dan Reeves after Shanahan took him to two Super Bowls.
I think getting
I think
to three
showed
Super
up
Bowls
by Shanahan.
Is he or two is huge.
I know. He did.
Like everyone's like, oh, that's what we should have been. We could have been if Shanny was here the whole time.
But that's not even, you can't even do that because the NFC is completely different at that point. The Cowboys dynasty is done by then. It's the Niners are done. Okay. You have the Packers on the ascension with Brett Favre, but like
I think we've made a solid argument for an hour plus. I want final head coaching Denver sports Mount Rushmores from the panel before we say goodbye. Justin, you feel like the only one who's actually gained some clarity from this discussion. Please lead us off while Ryan and I scramble to find an answer.
Shanahan won by himself. 2-3, however you want to argue it is fine with me, but I would go Malone 2, Bednar 3, and then I would go Reeves 4 because I think the entire Broncos like winning tradition kind of comes down to that, and you could put Red Miller in there too, but I just think that epic. Decade is huge. You have the Broncos weren't what they were before
it's
Reeves.
True.
They
it's
weren't
so
as
true.
Loved. There was possibilities that they would move, you know, like I just think we were kind of spoiled. I wasn't alive then, but I think Broncos fans got kind of spoiled. Like,
dude,
you're not factoring in.
Dude tried to trade John Elway. Dude tried to trade John Elway, and you're trying to argue that he's on the Mount Rushmore?
He drafted Tommy Maddox. There's not a good case for anyone, to be honest.
It's him or Coobs, but Coobs was a coach for 2 years, so.
I don't think it's Doug Moe.
Doug
Moe gets the like little bighorn like fun and entertainment statue.
You talked me out of Doug Moe with Larry Brown.
Yeah.
They were successful before, so it's not like a McCartney.
Then why can't you come around on Reeves? It's the same logic. Because weren't successful before
I'm
him.
I'm not willing to, if I'm forced to give it to someone, I'm going to give it to someone with a championship.
So Coops.
So probably Coops. And then I'm.
I can
I'm
live
using,
with that. If it's just
I'm
if
using
that's
his
the ring.
Coordinator tenure as a defense of the short head coaching tenure.
Are we overlooking Bob Hartley here? How important the 0-1 Stanley Cup is, winning it with an injured faux pas, the importance of getting Ray Bourque. You know, there was an urgency.
Well, and you had the 90s a couple times, not being able to get through the Red Wings in the late 90s, being able to finally break through. Maybe, I don't know. I'm too young for that one, just being straight up. Like, I know the stats, I know the numbers. I can't accurately sit here and be like, that 0-1 cup meant more. To me, 96 would seemingly mean more.
No, 96 means the least of any Denver championship, in my opinion.
How?
Other
it's
than
the first.
Fact it's the first. Because there was no suffering before. The Avs just showed up and were amazing, and everyone's like, this is kind of cool.
Like,
and then they just won.
But that was of the suffering for the Broncos. Does that not let out some of the Broncos' frustration? Like, we finally won something? They rioted in 96, it sure seemed like it.
Yeah.
Feeling what it felt like for the Nuggets to win, just, it can't be like that for the Avs.
I think it had to have. How could it have not have been? The city had never won a goddamn thing.
It's the first title in the city's history.
Never won anything.
But are you arguing for Crawford now?
No. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Jesus.
He's arguing for Crawford over Hartley, I guess. The thing about...
It's a good point.
Shit. But then that's what I said. Then the Vancouver things comes in, and that's what... I think Crawford would maybe be my four if it wasn't for that.
If you only consider the 96. Denver...
Yeah. But that's like one of the most visceral sports memories of my life, is that... I remember watching that game live. I'm in third grade. I brought out newspaper clippings to my third grade class so I could explain it to everyone. Like, this is what happened in the context. I've been a sports nerd forever. You too.
Okay. Yeah.
Where are we at? Give us your four. Let's make a decision. We'll regret it immediately.
I don't think we're coming to a consensus.
We're not coming to a consensus. But come with a final answer.
I'm going to give mine to Coops. I don't like it.
You know. Okay.
So here's the thing. So, I liked Mo. I was leaning Mo. You talked me out of it with Larry Brown. You also talked me out of it by basically saying he has the same resume as George Karl. And so then I just had to go back to championships. And I think I'm going to have to give it to Kubiak for saving the Peyton Manning era and being on the sidelines for the other two. He is a very important figure in Denver sports history. I'm happy to have him on my Mount Rushmore.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That was my logic coming in, then I went all the way around.
The fact that he's a Broncos
lifer. He's also on the sidelines for all of those other appearances that Dan Reeves is a part of.
He's a Broncos lifer. He's Elway's backup. He's Shanahan's second man. I mean, he's a consigliere for Elway in the front office. Even when he was winning in Houston, it was kind of like...
That's our guy.
Our guy, you know? The other thing is, I couldn't get TD in the athlete's all-time great. I'm a Pete guy. I am a peak guy. To me, what you've done at the peak of your power is way more important than some longevity thing, which we're giving Mike Shanahan the benefit of the doubt. He also has a very clean exit, which, oddly enough, is a big factor in all this. It's screwing Crawford. It's screwing Dan Reeves. How the way you leave things matters a lot. That sicko, it's his damn ticker. If he could, he'd be coaching football right now.
I think
Kubiak's the cleanest. I'll give it to him, even though I hate how new that Mount Rushmore is.
I know.
I hate how new it is.
Before we go,
I
know we got to
right
wrap it
one.
Up.
I think it's the right one.
I keep coming back to what RK said about against Reeves, but how do people feel about you like when you left? Everyone desperately wanted Kubiak to come in. Everyone was devastated when he had to step down.
I think we all feel great about running it back, even if it's T-Sim, right? Like, this team could have still been competitive. They're not the laughing stock that they became shortly after.
Well, when you look at, yeah, it's Kubiak.
And he's a Broncos lifer. Hey, here's the other thing,
man. You know what Kubiak's final act was? Not erroneously playing Paxton Lynch. He was like, I'm not having that
he
on
refused.
My record.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. It's the last game of the season. I'm not playing him because he sucks.
It's a solid point. Also, Justin can't start the show off saying this is a Broncos town and then our Mount Rushmore have like two Nuggets coaches on it.
Yeah.
I think the balance is a little more correct.
I don't care about that, but.
With Shanny Coop bookended and a lit Michael Malone holding up the chain next to Mike. Mike and Mike, JB and Gary. It looked beautiful.
I think. We have
Eric, start building it, okay?
We're
start
desperate
shipping
for
away,
a
please.
Great Rockies manager to just enter the like, everyone has a chance. The problem is two spots are being held right now. Could Sean Payton work his way onto this? Maybe.
Yeah, he could.
You know, what I'm saying is the
maybe.
The threshold
it's only
to get,
just begun.
The threshold
possible.
To get that fourth spot is really low.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like
the
it's
fourth
just,
spot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought you said the third.
No. You can get onto that fourth spot with a little bit of sustained success in a championship.
If Peyton turns this around and all of it, like you win a championship, a couple winning seasons in a row, like four or five, and you get the longevity, then yeah, he's probably going to end up being four.
Yep.
Well, and I mean, and Malone Betsy can really like
cement their
truly that 2-3 years is all it's going to take of this kind of sustained success. One more ring, you know, and then it's really this conversation's flipped to where they're the first segment and it's more like, where's Mike Shanahan fit in, you know?
Be crazy. I'm very at peace that we got Eric, who was pretty strongly Doug Moe early, to say I'm at peace with Kubiak. I think we did a good job.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I ultimately think it comes down to Red Miller, Dan Reeves, Gary Kubiak. I won't judge you whichever Broncos second best coach you pick for the fourth spot on the Mount Rushmore.
Well put.
Oh, well put. Well put. Yes. Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you guys for doing this. This has been a blast. Thank you for producer Kale. As always, superstar work because the ones and twos. And thank you to the homies at Breckenridge Brewery for presenting this here pod. We will be back next Thursday. God only knows what the weather has in store for us then. Tune in to find out. Have a great week.
Make sure you're home safe.